If your morning starts with snap, crackle, pop, and it's not your cereal, call Joint Relief Institute for fast-lasting joint pain relief. And yes, it's covered by Medicare. 708-888-0000.
Sunshine, no better time to talk about some hockey, huh? Episode 1 of Season 3. I cannot believe we are in the third season already of the Blackhawks Crazy Podcast.
Season 3. We're going to get that sweet residual money like a sitcom now,
no
right?
No kidding.
Yeah, go talk to the boss.
Checks are
going to
be rolling in. Yeah. That voice you heard right there, Scott King. I am Mike Jacobson. We both work at WGN Radio. Pretty good deal. And we get to talk about the Blackhawks.
When they let me in, I like to talk hockey.
That's right. And we're going to do a lot of that today. Pre-draft show. Coming up here is the draft coming to the Chicago for the first time ever at the United Center. John McDonough and company very excited about that. And a few other headlines going around right now in the league.
There may or may not be some news that's incredibly depressing.
Could
make
be.
Make me listen to like 90s love music, crying in your bedroom type news.
That's right. Yeah. Plenty of trade rumors swirling and trades that have already happened. And the future of the Blackhawks are very much in flux right now. I guess that's probably a good way of saying it. So,
yeah.
Welcome in, and thanks again for joining and listening to us each and every week. And it's gonna be a fun 40 minutes or so here. And we've got a couple of guests.
We have some guests.
Now,
we have
one that we already know, and that's Brittany Tulis, who is videoing
right now. Joining
us
later. She does everything here.
She does a little bit of everything.
She turns off the lights after the show. She caters the show. And then she actually is very knowledgeable about hockey, and she joins the discussions.
And she collects those residual checks that we get.
Yeah, so she keeps saying we're going to – she says we're going to see them. She just has to hold on to them. I don't know what she means by that.
I don't know what that means either. And then we also – usually we've been having – Brent Sopel, former Blackhawk, come in with us. So those, I'm sorry to disappoint you. He's not going to make it in today, but we're going to do a post-draft show on Monday, and he should be there for that. We're also going to be doing a post or not a post-show, but a live podcast from the Blackhawks convention.
I'm excited
next
about
month,
that.
Too.
I'm looking forward to that.
So that's going to be a lot of fun. Yeah. And then our other guest today was very nice to join us, all the way from Buffalo. She flew in all the way from Buffalo.
Just for the show.
Just
to be here for a
just
podcast.
Just for this show. Now, please introduce yourself.
My name is Stacey Limper, and I am the founder and president of Onside LLC. I help athletes transition into their careers post-sports.
She works with a lot of NHL players, and how I got into contact with Stacey is from Twitter. She's a big Blackhawks tweeter. You'd call yourself a fan. You're a big Blackhawks fan.
Oh, yeah,
right?
Born and raised.
And I was working on a story I'm thinking about putting out around a convention where I'm talking to some people, like I talked to Sopel, some people that played the game, and then they transition into the media. And I just think it's kind of interesting. I think there's some similarities with being a player and being in the media, and I think there's some things that happen to you after. So putting a story out about that around a convention, I want to talk to a coach that helps people actually make that transition into another career for after playing. And Stacey gave me some great quotes for the story, so they're going to be in there too.
Very nice of you to come in, and we welcome. That actually transitions into what we're talking about with a man who very well could be done as a hockey player, at least that part of his life. Now, we definitely know he's not coming or going to be around for the 2017-2018 season, unless you're under a rock, and I'm sure if you're listening to this podcast, the Blackhawks Crazy Podcast, you know by now, but we got to delve into it a little bit. Marian Hossa has a progressive skin disorder that is going to keep him out for this season. He's 38 years old, could put his whole entire career in jeopardy, and it's one of those things that I think caught a lot of Blackhawks fans off guard, to say the least.
Yeah, and reporters and everyone, look, we're supposed to be unbiased when you talk about these types of things, anything, when you're reporting anything, and you could just tell all the reporters, like myself, people who have worked with Hossa throughout the years, just the nicest guy.
Classic.
Just the nicest guy ever. He'll talk to you as long as he possibly can in the locker room. Basically, you have to drag him out. He's such a nice guy. And he told me congratulations when my daughter was born 2 years ago. He asked how people's kids are. He's just the best, and he always gave everything on the ice, played every shift really hard, amazing two-way player. And it's terrible. You're losing a guy who Stan Bowman, I just came from the press conference on Hossa, said that the culture changed because of him. He was the main reason. And that's true when you think about it. They get all these young players. You get Kane and Taves when they're young and the defensemen, Seabrook and Keith. And these guys have to learn the ins and outs of the game and how to be a pro. And Hossa helped with all that. And you know, they don't win that 2010 Cup without him. I don't know how many, if any Cups
maybe
they win with him.
Maybe all three of them.
Yeah.
I mean, it's for sure.
That's fair. And you know,
I mean,
before
Nashville in 2010 was, I mean, to cap off that epic comeback, game five?
It was five.
Five.
Yeah, yeah, he was fantastic. And like I said, people are still shocked by it. But when you look at the numbers, it's really hard to kind of stand by and say people really don't understand what happens with the cap. And what would happen if he played is that he's only going to make $1 million in his salary now. That's what kicks in. He's going to make $1 million a year for the next 4 years. Otherwise, his cap was at $5.275 million a year. That's what his hit is, whether, you know, he's just making that $1 million in salary, but his cap hit is $5.275 million. So the Hawks would have to pay that if he's playing. And if he just retired, they'd be hit with a recapture penalty of $4 million a year for those 4 years. So it took a lot to get all that out. But that's where it's at. And then you can kind of—
Well, it's complicated.
It is. It is.
It's very complicated.
And you can question the timing of right before the draft and the season coming up soon. We have to start getting your ducks in a row as far as the cap's concerned, and him choosing to retire now before he starts just making $1 million. But, whether it's a mutual thing the Hawks and him came to or not, he had to play through that. Coach Q said he knows he's playing through it for several years, and back in Coach Q's day, a lot of guys had this, and it's really painful. And you get there's pain and there's discomfort, and it's a real thing. You don't hear about it a lot now, but it's a real thing. And he did go through it, and Bowman saw him go through it. He even said the World Cup, he knows he was experiencing it.
It's definitely a real thing, because when I used to cover the Anaheim Ducks out in Anaheim in L.A., there was several players that dealt with that issue. And you talk to kids that play, even, you know, when they're young, that, I mean, it happens. I mean, the problem is, I mean, because with hockey equipment, and there's so much sweating involved in hockey, and then you can develop rashes and things like that. But when you're playing an 82-game season and you're on the ice basically every day, regardless if you're playing a game, because you're going to do morning skate or whatever, you never really give it a chance to heal. So you're just constant irritation, and to have to deal with that for as many years as it sounds like he did deal with it, it gets to a point when you're 38 years old, maybe I don't want to do this anymore.
Well,
I do have
become susceptible to an infection, things like that.
Exactly.
And I think where it's gotten to now is there's the concern that the medications he's on, he's starting to have those long-term side effects. I was saying to Scott, when you get your medication from the pharmacy, you have that insert that no one ever reads. But there's a reason why, you know, could cause possible whatever it is, liver failure,
whatever
it might be. You don't
know
what he's experienced. He's got two young daughters to consider. He's won 3 cups. He's basically done everything except a Selke, which I still...
to have one too. I agree. And a lot of reporters did stories on Tom Reed, who played for the Hawks, who's a defenseman in his 70s, and he played for some other teams, and he had it, and he had to retire because his doctor said, look, if you don't stop taking these cortisone shots, these steroid shots, which I think is still the treatment for this, you're not going to live past 40. So there's very serious side effects with these medications. So he's probably tired of taking those and worrying about what could happen with him. So you can't blame him, but we just don't know if it was a mutual thing and how the cap's involved and all that. But either way, you can't blame Marian Hossa. You can only be really happy for what he did here.
Well, the Blackhawks and him and team physician all said the right things in a statement. And it seems that at this point that there wasn't any sort of, I don't want to say collusion, especially nowadays. But, I mean, I think this is just in my opinion, I think it was a mutual decision. I think I think they were both on board. I think this is something that they probably knew about, again, probably a couple of years ago, at least the Blackhawks front office, saying that this potentially could happen. I mean, he's going to keep taking these shots, and these side effects could come around. So I don't think they were blindsided by this or anything. I think we as fans were, or, you know, I shouldn't say we as fans because we're in the media, but, you know, fans listening right now. Yeah, fans of the game or anybody.
And because
I mean, I had heard about it. I didn't know that he specifically dealt with it, but I mean, there's definitely players that have dealt with situations like this, and it's been going on for years. I mean, like you said, Tom Reed, we're talking about in the 70s.
Well, when you really think about it, too, hindsight's 20/20, but you think about the times he didn't do a morning skate or he didn't play the second of a back-to-back.
That's a good point.
You know, you kind of think about those
things.
And basically Quinville confirmed all those things Stacey just said at the press conference today, that was the reason. So that's a good point, and it's true. And also when you're getting into how it's going to affect the cap, the NHL is still going to investigate all this. They have to investigate this, and they said they're going to have a result by July 1st. They have to say if there was collusion, if they think he really experienced these things. And I don't think Marian Hossa and the Blackhawks would put this all forward if they didn't have some kind of trail of doctors and prescriptions and team doctors. They're going to be fine, I think. There's not going to be any trouble with the NHL for putting him on LTIR.
And the kind of guy that he is, I just can't imagine in the way, in the classiness of the organization.
Yeah, he's not
there should
go
be
out
any
like
bad karma
let him.
Coming Marian Hossa's way. No, it doesn't deserve any bad karma ever.
He's heading straight to the Hall of Fame as soon as he officially hangs
absolutely.
Up his skate.
He absolutely should.
So why would you want to do anything to jeopardize that? It just doesn't make sense. Blackhawks Crazy Podcast here at WGNRadio.com. We are talking Marian Hossa. We are talking draft. We are talking TBR, which we'll get into in just a little bit. But while we have you here, I definitely wanted to bring into this. So let's just imagine. Let's look up. Maybe it's not even after, you know, maybe not even after next season. Let's say whenever Marian Hossa retires and that whole transition into, all right, I'm no longer a professional athlete. Now I have to do A, B, and C. The hardest part is just getting to A, I would assume, correct?
Absolutely, especially in a case like his. He's not leaving the game on his terms. You know, he's not riding off into the sunset saying, you know, okay, this is going to be my last year playing. And, you know, it's the, you know, victory tour around every, you know, stadium that he's played in and all that. It's not on his terms. And those are the athletes that really have the harder time transitioning post-career because it's just one day, it's over. I mean, I think there was something on Twitter I read. One of the Slovakian reporters said 2 weeks ago he reached out to Hossa's people and he was starting to skate and get ready for the season. And then here it is 2 weeks later and he's done. So there's the psychological component. I think the misconception that people often get with athletes is, oh, they make all this money, they'll be fine. You know, the psychological component is so much bigger than the monetary component. And you know, for him, it's he's not going to be around his teammates anymore. There's that camaraderie. There's that support. And especially for a player like him who will more than likely go back to Slovakia to live. He probably won't stay here. So, you know, you need that support system. For athletes in general, I always say the first thing they need to do right away post-career is take care of anything medically that they have to, which in his case will subside probably right away because he's not dealing with it anymore. But if they have medical things and they're financially, you know, stable and they can deal with that, that's the first component. The next thing comes the monetary, but the psychological aspect is really the biggest thing that these guys face. There's sometimes depression or addiction or things like that that they have to address before they can even think about what kind of career they will have afterwards. There are different levels. You know, someone like a Hossa or a Taves or a Kane, you know, those guys, they don't have to worry about the money, but they compete at such a high level. You can't replicate that high anywhere in regular, you know, the mainstream world. You can't. So how do you replace that? And then there's always the questions, you know, the woulda, shoulda, coulda, what didn't I do? What wasn't, you know, could I have managed this better? So there's just all the psychological component is really the first thing that they deal with.
And talking with Stacey before for our interview, it sounds like the depression, the second guessing, a lot of this comes from hockey's their life for their entire life to this point. He's 38 now. So that's a long time you're playing a game and it becomes your life. And then all of a sudden you have to have a new life. And like also like Stacey said, it's much worse when it's not on your terms. So you're being told all of a sudden or something happened to you where you have to have a whole new life and you have to set that up and you still want your old one. So it's and also like we said, to be fair, we don't know if the LTIR or whatever they're going to do is just for next season or if he's done. And either way, eventually he's going to have to answer these questions just like a lot of players. And it's not an easy thing.
A couple things that Scott and I had talked about when we had our conversation was, you know, first of all, with hockey players, they're very unique to other sports where, you know, football, basketball, baseball, those guys are traditionally taking some kind of a collegiate route to go professional, even if it's 1 year that they're at the college level. Hockey players, they're leaving their homes at 13, 14, 15 years old and going and billeting with families so they can play in specific leagues. It's a very different route. You know, the other thing with regards to, you know, someone like Hossa or even just in general, what I hear from guys or from players is that it's almost like a death. You know, that person that they were as the athlete is done and now they're this person out
in the
world.
It's an identity.
It's a person
crisis.
Versus persona is what I call it within the brand that I use with my work. It's person versus persona. There's the on-ice persona and there's the off-ice person. Now with someone like Hossa, there's probably some parallel to that. He seems like a stand-up guy, you know, complete player, complete person.
Yeah.
But there are people that maybe are an instigator on the ice, but that's not their person off the ice.
Yeah.
So, but for someone like Hossa, you know, he's not, him not leaving on his own terms is probably going to be the biggest thing that he struggles with in you know, maybe the first year to 3 years post-career.
So when you work with these athletes, and I know you work beyond athletes, mm-hmm. but just kind of focusing on that. So once you get past those initial stages that they, you know, kind of like acceptance, I guess you right. would say, how long do you work with them after that?
I always ask them to commit for at least a year.
Okay.
Because for a year, they go through the cycle of life. You know, whatever's going to happen with their families, the, you know, where they're living, things like that. And then after that, it really depends on the person. Some of them need more support, ongoing support on a regular basis. Some only need like maybe a monthly kind of, you know, check in and, you know, strategy. Some need, you know, 3 years. You know, I've worked with athletes for as long as 5 years. It really just depends on the person, but it also comes down to what they're dealing with otherwise. If we're dealing with depression, addiction, things like that, it does take longer for them to transition into life after sports.
How did you get involved in becoming a transition coach? I'm very curious to see how you...
I actually...
That's not a job you normally just kind of fall into.
No, it's fascinating.
Yeah. I actually was in sports medicine for 15 years. That's what my degree's in. That's what I worked in. And my specialty was rehabilitative exercise. Gotcha. So I was always working with athletes that had the most severe injuries. And in that regard, these are athletes, I don't want to say guys because there's women too, but these are athletes who are basically saying to themselves, am I going to be able to come back from this injury and do what I used to do? And then you start having these conversations. I was telling Scott, much like you might have a conversation with your barber or your bartender, you know, people start to confide in you. And things that seemed like common sense to me, and I'm not saying that disrespectfully, weren't common sense to them. Things like managing their homes, managing their money, what other skills do they have outside of their sport? Are there things that they could take, you know, maybe they're a leadership role on their team. Is that something that they that can transition into something else? And I just kind of realized I had a knack for it. And sports medicine is a really difficult career path for women to evolve into. You really kind of stagnate into maybe a collegiate position or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
And I just felt like there was something more I could do. I wanted to help these guys other than their physical ailments. So I started to work with one or two athletes, and then it just kind of snowballed from there, and I made my own transition into being a transition strategist.
Wow. The word transition is going to be used as a segue 32 times in the show.
No kidding.
And it's a drinking game for today.
I love it.
Yeah, no kidding. If you're listening to this podcast, re-listen to it, and then you can have a drink.
There you go.
There you go.
There you go. That'll be a lot
drink
of fun.
Responsibly, people.
So is there any – I don't want to make this sound bad, like you don't know what you're doing.
Right.
But is there any time where your expertise in being a transition coach just hasn't worked with a specific athlete?
Absolutely. There are times when I will say to a client, I've taken you as far as I can. Because there are some
just
that just you just got to cut the cord and just say, you know, they've taken what they can take from me. But it really comes down to they have to do the work. And what I mean by work is, you know, what I do with them is, you know, we have strategic sessions where we say, OK, this is what we're going to work on this week. You have these objectives to complete by this time.
Can you give me an example of that? So let's just say objectives for the week.
OK, let's say for an example, I do have someone, a few that are here at the draft. They want to get media jobs, for an example. OK.
Get in line.
Yeah.
There's already a podcast in time.
So, for example, the thing about networking is so foreign to them because they're so used to everybody coming to them. The fact that they have to initiate and go and reach out to people, they don't want to do it. So an example would be, okay, who do you admire in media? Why? Okay, who is going to be at the draft that you can communicate with and find out more from them about how they got there? That's your homework assignment for the draft. And then we'll check back in and see how did it go. Like I've had athletes who say, I want to be a realtor. Okay, great. Do you know any realtors? Yes. We'll go and talk to them and find out what it took. 9 times out of 10, they come back and say, I don't want to do that then. So it's, you know, it's really just it's laying out their objectives and holding them accountable. There's accountability involved.
Mm-hmm.
Because most of the athletes that I work with can't get up off the couch. That's the biggest issue. They're depressed or whatever it is. And they need somebody to kind of stick a foot in their rear and say, yeah. Look, you got to try and do something.
Mm-hmm.
I would say a whole lot of help me help you.
Yeah, exactly.
Yes. You know,
help you.
Yeah, exactly. But no, it's a fascinating job, isn't it? I mean, you're asking a lot of the same questions I asked in the interview because it's you don't hear a lot about people doing this type of thing, and you always wonder where athletes' brains are at.
Well, it's always fascinated me, no matter what the sport may be. I mean, I know in football, the average average football player's shelf life is 5 years.
Yeah, 3 to 5 years.
Yeah. That's insane,
and
man.
You're talking at 30 years old, you're having to recreate yourself. I mean, it's hard enough for a lot of people who sell insurance to retire at 65 and try to develop a new life after 65. Mm-hmm. Try doing it when you're 30 and you're the only thing your whole entire life that you've been focused on.
You get set in your routines. You know you're about to go to work, so you like to have your coffee. You like to read the paper. But then that kind of changes when you wake up. You don't have anything to do. We all know have relatives or friends that go through this. It's crazy. So to add that into a contact sport and where you're getting a lot of money and people like you and want to talk, it's insane.
And the attention factor, I would think, has to
in. Ego is the biggest thing, and they'll admit it. They don't not admit it. Mm-hmm. I mean, ego is the biggest thing.
And in a weird way, I know this sounds – stay with me here, but hockey players in particular – for the most part, now Marinos has got it different because he's shaped like a Greek god.
Yes.
But a lot of players, if you're not a hockey person and you see Jonathan Taves or Patrick Kane in the grocery store, they look like normal people.
Phil Kessel.
Like, it's not like a retired basketball player where you're 6'9 and pretty recognizable. A lot of these guys, and they have equipment on and they just don't, you know what I mean? So the ego's even, it's different for hockey players because you can get by without it. Like, people don't recognize you.
Well, and
I'm trying to get that out. I know it didn't make any sense, but I'm on a little sleep.
No, it's true, though. It's true. I mean, and that's what I was saying when I meant, people, they're used to everybody coming to them, and now the next best thing is already out there on the ice, and they're, at home with their families, and they're getting forgotten about. That's a big thing that they have to deal with.
And even with our colleague Brett Sopel, who's not here today, which would have been awesome if he was with you here.
I've read a lot about his story. I would have loved to have met him.
And his story in the Players Tribune and everything that he's gone through, battling with dyslexia, alcoholism, and addiction in general. I mean, here's a guy that his whole life, and he talked about it on his podcast.
He talks about it every time he's on a show. It's not easy for him.
Yeah.
Just being a regular guy and even trying to do this. And another reason to read this story when I put it out around the time of the convention is he really is honest and talks a lot about it. It's very interesting.
Well, then he gets up at 4:45 in the morning, and he's got to get up and get doing something.
How about his special drink? He's got that, gallon of, purple water.
Yeah.
I want that. What's in that?
Sopel purple drink. Trademark.
Yeah, there you go. And he's got so much energy.
And he's in great shape still.
He's doing everything right, probably. That's how he's just kind of, maintained his sanity, I think, is by just constantly working out and constantly.
You need an outlet. They need an outlet.
And they always need to have something to do. Mm-hmm. Otherwise, they fall into bad habits.
Well, one of the things you just said, Scott, one of the first things that I have to work with, with these guys is time management. Because they're so used to everything being dictated to them. What time they have to get up to go to the rink and have practice and
everything's on a schedule.
Take their nap and their pregame meal, and they can't be home for Christmas because they're on the road, and and their wife or their girlfriend or whoever's taking care of everything back at home. But then once they're off the ice and all that stops, the alarm goes off of what do I do with my day? I don't know what to do. It's just as much becomes a part of the family dynamic as it does their dynamic, because now the wife's not used to having him home. Mm. She's used to taking care of everything. And he doesn't feel like he even belongs in his own home. Oh, honey, don't worry about it. I'll take care of it because I've been taking care of it this whole time. Or you're not doing it right. I do it. I'll get it done quicker because I know how to do it. And I try to explain that to the family. It's like, let him make those mistakes. Teach him how to take care of what you've been taking care of, because they need to feel like they belong. They need to be a part of the family too.
So what percentage of players actually seek out this kind of help? Is it still some kind of a stigma to ask for help afterwards?
Absolutely.
By the way, Brittany Toulis, off the camera now.
Voice of Brittany.
That's the voice of Brittany. That's the voice of Stacey, transition coach extraordinaire.
No, it's not enough, basically. And that's one of the things I'm trying to accomplish with my work, is to get these guys thinking about this while they're still playing. They can start developing skills that they can use post-career. Or even these kids that are about to get drafted tomorrow and Saturday. What are the things that they can start working on? Just small, because God forbid they take the focus off their playing, right?
Mm-hmm.
But there are still things, like computer skills or social media skills, speaking skills, writing skills. These are all things that they can develop now that will transition later.
Drink.
Dink. But it's true. I mean, find me a job these days that you don't need to have some kind of a computer skill. Or even we were just talking prior to starting about, you know, Connor McDavid last night, how uncomfortable he looked
deer
speaking.
And he's you can argue, he's the best player in the game now.
And he's going to be the face of the NHL.
He's the face of the game.
But yeah, that's because they just play and get very good at hockey. So that's why people like Stace here are trying to help him out.
There you go. It's a fascinating topic. We literally talk about this for like another hour because it fascinates me.
Yeah, I absolutely love it.
And working around athletes myself for the past 10 years being in radio, I really could talk about it. But we've got about 10 minutes, so we're going to – and a lot of people don't know, too, that Stacey is a diehard hockey fan.
I'm from Chicago originally.
She's from Chicago originally. Unfortunately, in Buffalo now.
There's good things happening there, though.
Well, they did fire Rex Ryan, so that's good for the Bills.
But they just
hired in bar fights.
They just hired a new GM and a new coach for the Sabres.
Yeah, that's true.
So,
would you say that Buffalo is in a transition phase
right now in their sports world? Ding, ding, ding.
People are blackout drunk listening to our show right now. So, nobody get in a car.
So, speaking of blackout, Las Vegas. The Vegas Golden Knights expansion draft last night happens. TVR goes there, but found some news out a little bit today, right before the podcast, and we started recording this about 1:15 or so. Scott, you could take that away.
Yeah, he got traded to the Carolina Hurricanes. I think they got a draft pick for it. I mean,
Blackhawks East. There's a Blackhawks.
I said that to John Dietz today from the Daily Herald. I claimed early in the morning. I was like, Hurricanes are new Panthers.
Yeah, no kidding.
They've reached their quota in Florida.
But they might have a good team.
Teravainen, Bix. There's one more I'm missing.
Darling.
Nordstrom?
Probably the
Nordstrom?
And one of the biggest offseason moves you're probably going to get to is Darling, who actually just wrote a great piece for Players Tribune like Sopel.
Another great one.
It was awesome. It was honestly one of my favorite reads in the last couple of years. I really, really liked it. He talked a lot about social anxiety, and that's another interesting thing that, like, who would have thought that athletes experience social anxiety and are afraid to talk? We know they're a little nervous and don't like talking to media, but for someone, like, walking in a locker room and not be comfortable with their new teammates, and it was fascinating.
Well, we're going to miss him here a lot, too. Yeah, not to get into that too much, though, but, I mean, these guys, when they're bouncing, Scott Darling, read the piece, how many places he's bounced around it's like starting over. It's like a new kid at school. Exactly. I was the new kid at three different schools, and I thought, you know, that was tough enough. I mean, these guys are and they're adults.
Yeah,
they're adults, and it is different. I mean, because it's just like moving on to a new job. Mm-hmm. I've worked at 10 different radio stations. It's always different because there's little niches and there's little groups and little cliques.
Even the regions. Wasn't he in like Louisiana or something
south,
like
that? Yeah. ECHL for a while.
I went from Houston to LA. You can't get any more different from Texas to California. And it is different. And, you know, these athletes, everyone always thinks that they've got the world by the string just because they're athletes and they can stop a puck in between a net. Mm-hmm. No, they're humans too.
He bounced around so much, he was so uncomfortable. That one of the most fascinating parts in the story to me was that he passed out. He just got to some some who knows where team that you've never heard of, and he just saw his teammates' locker room. He's like, I'm so nervous. I'm tired of moving where I don't know people, and he just passed out.
If you're a fan of The Sopranos, it's like Tony when he passes out.
Oh, yeah.
Now, the anxiety and too much.
Darling had to get some pet ducks. Backyard. No, he's Scott was – look, Scott was an awesome guy, and he definitely deserved a shot to be number one. Super nice guy, and he was such a good goalie. They had the best tandem in the NHL with Crawford and Darling. Yeah. And I think everyone's wishing him luck. No, fans are sorry to see him go, but everyone's definitely going to be a Scott Darling fan. Is that right, Brittany? Is that what you feel?
I love Scott. I'm excited. I hope he gets a starting spot in Carolina. Yeah. I don't think he has two – I mean, Ward and Lack are still over there, and I'm still trying to figure out what's going on with Lack, I think, because he underperformed a little this year.
Yeah.
But I hope Darling gets the starting position. It'd be fun to see them face off here.
And I think they're counting on it, too, in Carolina, because they gave him a pretty good contract. I forgot the exact number. They gave him, 4 years – $4 or $5 million a year, or something like that. I think it was four by four. Yeah, 4x4. He made a good chunk of change. They wouldn't throw that out if they didn't want to be number one goalie, I don't think.
Another regional difference. Going from Chicago to Raleigh is a big difference, particularly
people like it there, though.
A hockey town to not a hockey town.
Yeah. It's starting to be like Nashville. Maybe it will be in a couple of years,
But to circle, circle back around, TBR, now his teammate.
And also, though, with the TVR, before it was reported that they were going to have to throw Kruger in for Vegas to take TVR, Kruger's still on the Hawks now. And that's kind of surprising, but there's also talk last night and today that there's still a trade being worked out. It was being worked out with Vegas. I don't know if that's changed with some of the trade they've done since, like with TVR, but Kruger could go still. Interesting to see what they do with him now that they lost one of the best two-way players in the league, Marian Hossa. Interesting to see what's going to happen with Kruger now.
It is, and it also – it could be, depending on what happens to Kruger, what they're going to do in that first round, what they're going to go after. And you could really go anywhere.
Yeah.
I mean, Blackhawks could use a little bit of help everywhere.
Well,
defense
one of the
would
things
be nice.
I would be nice.
Yeah. Yeah. Defense would be nice, but they
backup
could use
goalie. Yes.
Well, here, let's stick with that. I think Brittany had a really good point there with blue line. If I get to my – guys, I think they might pick I think they might look at a center, and they need a left wing. Guys, they need it. I think they need another one or two defensemen. They need a top six left wing who play with Taves. I don't think Schmaltz is ready yet. And they need a backup goalie now. So one of the guys I think they can take right at that first round pick, they get the 26th pick is the Hawks' first pick in the draft. And there's
which kicks off tomorrow.
Yes, kicks off tomorrow and Saturday here at the UC. We're not at the UC. Here in Chicago at the UC.
We are at the
Look,
Tribune
I've
Tower.
Also been playing a drinking game with you guys. a guy I think they could take is a defenseman, Nicholas Haug from the – Sopel would know how to say this. Mississauga Steelheads in the OHL. Guy's 6'6", 215.
Nicholas Haug. Is that not a defenseman name?
Sounds like a name like – you know, what a great
– PR dream.
He really doesn't even need he doesn't even need a nickname. He's 6'6", 215. He's got a left-handed shot, and he's one of the best offensive defensemen in the draft. And he could be right around that number 26 pick. The Hawks could get him, and you never know if a guy like that could turn into the next Zdeno Chara. That could be a really good pick.
Nicholas Haug.
That's what I like for their pick. Nicholas Haug, defenseman from the OHL.
It'd be just fun to hear what nickname Q comes up.
You know it's a Hoggy. Hogs, lower body. Hogger.
Hogger.
We might pair him up with Dunks.
Dunks and Hogs.
Dunks and Hogs.
That's like a
maybe
great
it's just
tandem.
Maybe something like bacon. You know, maybe it's just like this rickery.
Dunks and Hogs sounds like
Panarin,
a great.
Panarin, right? Panarin.
Yeah,
bread and bacon.
We could have a BLT line or
there
something.
There you go.
And how Panera has still not capitalized on the bread.
I think he's
thing.
Trying to,
makes
to
no
see
sense.
The best fitting bread company for his endorsement.
So it's going to be a fun weekend in Chicago, NHL draft. You can go, too. It's supposed to be a really cool fan experience.
Fan Fest is supposed to be amazing. Mm-hmm. The Centennial.
I actually went in there today. They had a – I highly recommend
it. You were
there. I was there. They had a Wayne Gretzky helmet in the Centennial. It was really cool. They had all kinds of stuff. And then my favorite thing was they had Stan Mikita's stick from his 250th goal. And when you see the curve on that wooden stick, it's like – that's like – it's like the history of hockey in one stick. It's awesome.
It's really cool.
Yeah, it's a really cool thing they did for the fans. You guys should go check it out.
And, just a few other notes before we go here because we only have just a few more minutes. I just wanted to mention I thought it was really cool what they did last night at the NHL Awards for Bix. We mentioned
that's a great point.
Great, emotional, the whole nine yards. I mean, he's just a class act. He was. The ups and downs that he had here as a player, we can now
there's
probably,
another one transitioning.
Yeah, exactly.
Not on his own terms.
And that's a really tough one. That's a good point, really tough one.
And, I mean, he was just – I mean, he got the big contract after 13. He didn't live up to expectations, but
the fans turned on him pretty quick,
And the fans turned on him, but you know
happened.
What? He never turned on them.
No,
I mean,
not at all.
No, and to give the fans credit
– the whole way. And now we know that perhaps – actually, we probably could assume that this MS – had some sort
it.
Of, I mean, the verdict.
At some point, it definitely did. And to give the fans credit, they jumped right back around when the news broke about
out.
His MS. I mean, you couldn't find anyone saying a bad word about him. And that should be the case, too.
Yeah, Carolina embraced him right away before
they
even
knew that.
Yeah,
his teammates were
great to him. Yeah, they were great
to him. How cool was it that he got to finish on a shootout goal?
Ooh, I was there for that.
You were there?
That was sick. Yeah, I was in Philly.
Oh, my God. That's awesome.
It was so fun.
Talk about hockey history. That's great.
That was really cool. And, I mean, we've had him on. I produced the Steve Cochran Show, for people that don't know that. And we've had him on a couple of times. And he used to be a regular contributor. He's just a class act throughout. So I just thought that was really cool last night. Also, too, looking ahead to the 2017-18 season, Blackhawks, Penguins.
Season opener, October 5th.
It's going to be pretty cool. It's going to be pretty cool. So it'll be the season opener. So obviously they'll be a little jacked up Pittsburgh
fans.
Yeah. And we got to give Brittany Tulis some credit because to end season two of the Blackhawks Crazy Podcast, she predicted it.
Who would have thought a repeat in the salary cap era would happen so soon?
No kidding.
Brittany picked it.
And they didn't, especially in the beginning of the playoffs, did not look that good.
I thought the way that the Predators threw it to the Hawks, destroyed them, and then they still look good throughout the entire playoffs, up to playing the Penguins. I thought it was going to be the Predators after that first round.
Got to give their coaching some credit, too. Mm-hmm. I mean, they out-coached the Predators, in my opinion. I mean, but that's just
for sure.
But yeah, that's a couple more notes. Anybody else? Some tidbits, nuggets you want to throw in there?
No, I think our fans need a cup of coffee, need to lay down.
Still pretty early. But, call an Uber.
Call an Uber, get some Advil, Gatorade for tomorrow.
Then rally at 7.
But it was a lot of fun. Brittany, thanks again for coming in. And Stacey, really appreciate it. This was really interesting.
Yeah, thanks for coming in, Stacey.
Thank you for having me. This was fun.
I mean, we could have talked, I'm not even kidding, for another hour on the whole transition coach and your career path and how you help players move on past the game. It's always been fascinating to me how that works, because again, these guys are humans and they have to recreate themselves, a lot of them at age 30. Marian Hossa, it looks like he's going to be closer to 40 when he has to recreate himself, and it's not easy.
No,
so
not at all. Thank you for having me, though. Great to be back home in Chicago for the
weekend.
Anytime. Thank you.
And enjoy the draft this weekend, everybody. And we are going to be back here for episode 2 of season 3 on Monday. We'll recap everything
from the draft.
Who knows? Maybe we'll have a hog in the pen, in the Blackhawks pen.
You
think he'll do our show?
I like it.
And on that note.
Follow us on Facebook, or I should say like us on Facebook, Blackhawks Crazy. We just got over 25,000 likes.
Thanks for saying that. That was a big
deal.
Yeah, I was really happy about that.
Bravo, congratulations.
I can't reach you to pat you on the back.
Just do it after the show.
I joined late in on the Blackhawks Crazy, but you brought it to me, and it worked out too.
And
it's
exploded with your help and with the help of WGN and even Brittany here, you know, paying our bills and keeping money from us.
And
hey, got to keep my dog on the high class dog food.
And we're hoping Soaps is going to be Brent Soaps will be back next week. If not, he's going to be joining us throughout the season, just like he was last year. He's great. I wish he had more energy. No, once you actually hear Brent Soaps talk, the guy is just off the wall. He's so much fun. You basically say one thing and he could talk for 15 minutes.
Yeah, Soaps is the best.
It's fantastic. Though his passion for the game is still there. So, again, you can follow Scott at Scott King Media on Twitter. I'm at Jacobson Radio with an E on Twitter. Facebook.com/Blackhawks Crazy. We want to get to 25,000 and 2 likes by the end of this podcast. All right?
Yes.
And really quick, the last thing I'm going to do, because we're already late and I can see Pete Zimmerman from the download staring at me because he needs the studio. Congratulations to my man, Scott King. Second one on the way.
Oh, thank you, buddy. Thank you.
His daughter, Lucy, is almost
going to be two in August.
Almost two,
you keep track of everything. Thank you.
And he's just found out that him and his lovely wife are having second baby.
There's more fun to be had. Yes.
That's right. And more sleepless nights.
Exactly.
So, so get the drinking games in now.
No more Price is Right references. I won't get any of them.
Thanks again to Brittany. Thanks again to Stacey. And thanks again to you, more importantly, for listening to the Blackhawks Crazy Podcast. We'll see you again on Monday post-draft. See ya.